This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Oh, good morning. Scott Wells here for the MagicWordPodcast.com. We are beginning the first full day of Fechner's Finger, Obie's 4F convention, and I'm here at breakfast with a friend of the Magic Word, Terry Greenwood. Hi there, Terry. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you. Did you enjoy last evening's show, by the way?
I did. Yeah. I enjoy it all the time that I'm here.
Yeah.
It was a little bit different, I thought. You know, it was particularly whenever that we have Asians performing, their style of magic is different, I think, from Occidental. It's just completely different. I really enjoy it.
I think that they're very original. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that gets me. You never think of those kind of things that they do, you know?
Right, that's true.
That's, obviously, I don't think of it, but they do. They think of that. But as we were talking then also... we were talking about listening to some of the podcasts and about listening to Chip Romero recently, who was talking about Doug Henning, and you said you just wanted to correct something about being a clown?
Yeah, he traveled as Shushu, and he did that for the Canadian footwear industry, traveled across Canada. And one of the things he did was the Miser's Dream. And when he did the Miser's Dream, he had these coins that were specially minted that said Shushu on it, and then some advertising on it about the Canadian footwear industry. And I have one of those coins somewhere at home, because I think he would give the odd one out when he did the Miser's Dream. He'd hand them out.
Wow. I think that'd be a special kind of a souvenir. If you could find that, that would be valuable for some collector, I'm sure.
I think that was in the late 60s or maybe very early 70s he did that. Yeah.
And you said that he was also a very good mime. And he did mime there?
Oh, fabulous, yeah. He would lean like he was leaning on a table, but there was no table there. I'd never seen anything like it. It was magic in itself.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
it
was great.
It seems like, I may be wrong, but I thought he had done some mime work when he had Shields and Yarnell as guests on a special episode once.
Strangely, he lived about 20 miles from where I lived, and I was just a young kid. He and I were the same age. I went to this shopping mall, and his card was on the billboard, on a bulletin board, and at that time he was called Hendu. Hendu. I wish I had taken the card. I would have that as a souvenir. It was the amazing Hendu.
And you like magic. You were a magician back then as well?
Yes, yeah.
But you never look him up or anything?
No, and I kicked myself, you know. I never did.
Yeah. Yeah, hindsight's always great.
Exactly. 2020.
What are you looking forward to seeing this year?
Everything. But you kind of put me on the spot there.
Yeah.
For sure, Jeff Williams. Oh, Ludovic. Ludovic de Witt from Holland, I believe.
Okay.
He Ludovic studied with Tommy Wunder many years ago. Did a great act last year. He's going to do the same act this year, but he's made some changes. I was just talking to him last night, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Wow, that sounds like it'd be interesting. Which day is he on, do you know?
It's on today, I believe.
Okay. I'm always looking forward to seeing Pitt Hartley. Every time that he performs, or a particular lecture, he always has just everything. It's like, that's a good idea, that's a good idea, that's a great idea, you know.
Exactly, yeah. I think the thing is, here you see magicians. And I mean to differentiate that. There are people that do tricks, and there are magicians. And there's magicians here. Boy, it just...
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and also the fact that this is midweek as opposed to weekends, which will allow a lot of professionals to make it, who are otherwise working on weekends and corporate or whatever, you know.
Sure.
And so they're able to make it here then, too. So it is interesting. Well, good. Terry, thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.
Always good seeing you, my friend.
Always good to see you, my friend.
And by the way, for those of you who are listening who want to be a friend of the Magic Word, just as Terry is, go to the MagicWordPodcast.com, and there you'll see a link where that you can click on that and learn a little bit more about how to help support the Magic Word Podcast, so this way that we can continue to provide you with great chats with good friends and finding out more about what other magicians are up to, and helps to defray some of our costs with our hardware and software domain provider and all that. Well, anyhow, enough of that. Thank you very much, and we will be talking with a lot of folks here today for day two, first full official today, at Obie's 4F. That was Terry Greenwood. This is Scotty out. All right, well, we just finished breakfast, and it's still, what is this, Thursday morning, day two? I keep stuttering because it seems like this is going to be the first full day. Yesterday seemed, well, anyhow.
Yeah.
So I'm here with Eric Olson and Rick Wilcox, and you've heard from both of them, actually, if you listen regularly to the Magic Word podcast over the last several years, and that we spoke exclusively with Rick and talking about his Magic Theater some years ago. And Rick, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Fantastic.
Glad to be here.
And I'm glad you're here also, and you're going to be, you're still working, as always, you know, with the sound and lights and everything, helping Jimmy C and everything.
Yep, so. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Whenever he needs help.
And I want to talk to you in just a minute about kind of a quick update on the theater, but
sure.
Talk about theaters and Eric Olson that you've got then. Fantastic Wizards Theater going in what number year now?
It'll be 9 years in August.
9 years, okay.
Wow. I didn't think I'd make it 9 weeks. That's incredible.
Well, why? What do you think is the success of that? Why do you think it is going to be so long?
I think two things. I think I have a great audience that really gives energy to all the performers, and I think the performers leave on such a high that the word gets out that it's such a fun room to work. I think that's it. It's a small little room, but it's...
Yeah, it only seats, what, 35?
50.
50, okay.
50, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so people can do the close-up or stand-up, basically.
Yeah, parlor, close-up, yeah. So it's a great for either the type of performer.
And it's only open on Mondays, is that
only
right?
On Mondays, yes, yes.
What is it the rest of the week?
The rest of the week, it's just, I think they use it as a little movie theater in the hotel.
Okay, because this part is in a hotel.
It is in a hotel, yep. So Monday's my play date, and then I don't have to worry about my corporate events usually on a Monday, so I don't have to worry about...
That's
not
usually kind of a slow date anyhow, I think.
Yes.
You know. And so do you bring in things and set it up, you know, the curtains and everything?
Oh, yeah. It goes from an empty room to a complete... We have a closet there that's part of our, you know, rent, and I just wheel it all out, set it all up. It takes about an hour to
set the room. I'd say, after all the number of years, you've got it down to a science.
Yeah, yeah. An hour at the most, yeah.
So. And so people who are interested in working your theater should... how do you vet people?
I do is I tell them to, you know, just send me their website and their videos to my email, magic@ij.net, and I look through them. And I have a couple people that help me review them, and so that way we can make the right decision so everybody's happy.
Right.
You
right.
know, so.
And Rick, how many years now are you going with your theater?
This is going to be 20.
20. Wow. Yeah, and you only look 25.
That's because I love what I do.
Yeah.
You know,
I love what you do. That's
exactly.
Right.
You know, when you're not really working.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, 20 years is this summer. I know. And
550
seats, Wisconsin Dells.
Yeah. How many seats?
And 550.
550.
Yeah. And we still love what we're doing. We constantly changing the show, coming up with new things to keep it fresh for ourselves.
I think it's an interesting story. I hope people will go back and listen to the podcast you and I talked about, because even the theater seats, about how they were soggy and how they were torn up and what you did a little at a time and how out of love you built this thing to the success it is today.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just up on the roof the other day fixing stuff, but you know, it's working.
Yeah, Magicians Haven't Seen It. It is, I believe, the best illusion show in the United States. It really is. It's so good.
What's the name of the city? I know Wisconsin Dells, but what is it?
It is Wisconsin Dells.
Okay.
It's Wisconsin Dells. Okay. Exactly. It's the water park capital of the world. They have the biggest water parks in the world there.
Wow.
You may have heard of the Kalahari. That's where it all started. Okay. They're expanding all over the world. Mm-hmm. And we have a theater and lots of different things to do there. But
so you do anything special? This is your 20th season?
20th season, yeah.
Okay, so you got something special for the 20th?
Yeah, we were bringing back some of the things that we did earlier in the year, but we've recreated them, made them much better. But we're still doing some of the best ones. We've rated our illusions. We have like 26 big illusions, and we've rated them all from 1 to 26, and we're going to just do some of the best.
Well, that's fun.
I wish we could do a longer show, but, you know, you got to keep them short, be short and sweet and to the point. And, but, yeah, it's going to be
great. And the season it runs from when to when?
Well, we do it year-round, but when people are in town. We just did all the spring break shows, so now we have a little break so I can come to this convention and we start up again.
You do this every year.
Yeah, I do it every year because this is the break time.
Yeah.
So
this is your relaxation from magic, is going to do more
exactly.
magic.
Exactly. Just motivate me to
it's a bus driver's holiday.
Yeah. But so we're working on a couple new things, a real fun cell phone trick for this year and a trick that we're doing with shadows and some other big illusions that we're having made and shipped here. I don't know when they're going to get here, but.
Wow.
We have plenty of stuff.
That sounds great. And Eric, I know yours is in Kissimmee, which is just outside of
Orlando. Yeah, I'm like really 10 minutes up the road from Disney. So right on 192. So
you're competing with Disney.
Yes. I'm fighting the mouse. You know, yes. That's what I'm doing on Mondays. Not so bad, you know.
Now, I know, Rick, you've been coming to 4F for several years. Like what?
I think I won a competition in London. That's when I met Obi, and that's when I was invited. That was in, it was like probably 18 years ago. Yeah, so I've been coming for 18 years.
Okay. Never missed one?
I did miss one when my dad passed away. Okay. That was a year I missed. Otherwise, I was every one.
This is my 31st, and I have missed three.
You missed three?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is my first.
I was going to say that. I didn't know when we're seeing you here.
No.
I wasn't here last year.
I was able to sneak in this time. Nobody knows yet that I'm here.
Yeah, you took someone else's name badge.
It's really a fun convention, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm.
What makes it special?
I think just meeting with everybody and staying up late and working on seeing everybody's new things. And you get excited, you know? When you like magic like we do,
yeah.
It's hard not to be excited to share it with other people and see what they're working on and talk.
The fact it's not just you and me talking about, you know, in the U.S., but it's other people who are bringing the international influence start to see. I mean, particularly like last night with the Taiwanese show, that they do such unusual things from what we do that I just think it's phenomenal, you know, and the sharing that goes on here is unlike any other convention.
Yes, I would agree.
You'll find that to be true, Eric,
okay.
as you kind of get along.
Okay, great. Yeah.
you've been probably wanting to come for years.
For years, but, yeah. You know, it's the pinnacle of all magic conventions. So, you know, it's like, wow, when you get invited, it's a little nerve-wracking, scary, actually.
So you're on today, or is it tomorrow?
No, not till Saturday, so I have plenty of time to relax and take a deep breath. Yeah.
Well, I thought you were going to say you've got plenty of time to be nervous.
No, I'm not. Don't put that in my head. No.
You're going to do fantastic.
Yeah.
Hi.
It's Mark DeSouza here.
Hey, it's Mark DeSouza. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were taping.
Hello. You just joined in.
Good. That's right. Yeah. Excellent.
You just heard from Mark last night and yesterday's podcast, but you can go back and listen to it again and say hello again today.
Hello. So. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Thank you, Mr.
With no internet connection.
Same thing. Yeah, all right.
That's right. Sure. Yeah, to upload this last night, I hope you guys out there who are listening appreciate how long that this takes. It was like a half hour to upload.
And
you
know, he sat there patiently watching his computer the entire time when this was uploading.
Wow.
If you believe that, I've got some Swampland in Jersey you might want
to
sell you. But
that gave me time to go to the Italian party last night. Did go down with Alani.
Yeah, I just heard about that this morning. That's the place to be, huh?
It's the place to be.
Yeah.
So I went down there about 1 o'clock because I got a half hour for this upload.
I missed that one, but they have this stuff that's, what is it?
Limoncello.
And they give you a really small glass, so bring your own glass.
Well, unfortunately, it's kind of limited because one of the bottles broke in the luggage on the way over.
Oh,
so if you detect a guy smelling like lemons walking around, you'll know who it was.
Yeah. You can suck his shirt.
Yeah, we ring it out.
Well, tonight, actually, they're not going to have the party because tonight is the 4S.
Yeah, it's the Scotch night.
Yeah.
So
okay. The Secret Scotch Sipper Society.
Wow.
It's everybody brings our Scotch drinkers, you know, bring bottles of Scotch. So we have really high-end Scotch. It's
cool.
Really nice.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
So I'll be there. Yes, they asked the Italians not to open the suite tonight.
Correct. Yeah.
They asked them not to, huh?
Yes. Right. Yeah, because it attracts a lot of people.
Yes.
But anyhow, thank you guys very much. Glad to hear your updates also on the convention as well. I'm glad that you're here.
Yep. And don't forget, Scott, I still want you to come down and do Wizards when you're in Florida.
Looking forward to that. I will do that. I want to come up. I still haven't seen your show.
You have to see it.
Come up for a couple of days. Yeah. You see it a couple times.
I will.
He's got enough illusions, he'll change around for you, Scott.
There you go.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All you have to do is mention the podcast to Rick Wilcox, and he'll change the illusions every night for you.
There you go.
All right.
Show the Magic Word Podcast. That was Eric Olson.
Let's go to the dealer's room. Come on.
Yeah, I'm going to spend some money.
Scotty out.
Don't tell me.
All right, well, as I started to step into the dealer's room, that there are a lot of people in there, but one of the people I've really been wanting to chat with while I was here, and that's Dennis Beer. Beer? What's the best way of pronouncing it?
Beer. But beer is fine, too.
Because you like beer.
Indeed.
Being from Germany. What part of Germany, by the way, Dennis?
Munich.
From Munich, okay.
Yes.
Someday I'm going to come over to the Oktoberfest. That's one of my bucket list things to do.
You should, yeah. I'm there for you.
Now, do you ever work to do magic at the Oktoberfest or any for the companies? Beer companies?
No, not paid. Only just for friends or something like this. It's not a fun place to perform usually.
I was going to say, yeah.
It's too loud.
Is that something that usually do you get out of town during Oktoberfest because it's so crazy?
Some people do. There are a lot of people that don't like the Oktoberfest because they don't drink beer themselves or for whatever reason, and then they leave town and may even rent out their apartment.
Well, because I was thinking that some people might think, well, gee, this is just too busy, too many tourists, and I don't like it, so I'm going to leave, and I can rent out my place. You know,
but I'm staying.
Yeah, you stay. Okay. Well, because of drinking beer. Yeah. There we go. And what I think is fantastic or interesting is the fact that most people who drink beer, like me, you have a beer belly, but you're a thin young man. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I like to eat pastries a lot, and I think they balance each other out for some reason.
I like that philosophy, beer and pastries, and they balance it out. Well, the reason I want to talk with you is just to congratulate you on the, it was a creative fellowship that you just got from the Academy of Magical Arts?
It was an award of merit. That's what it was for the websites, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the website, I remember you talked about that a few years ago over here at Factors, but for the listeners, I want you to tell a little bit more about that.
Yeah, it's called conjuringarchive.com. That's one of the two websites, and it lists the contents of magic books, and you can search for creators, categories, and if you go on the site, it's very easy to navigate, so you will just see what it is, and it's very easy to look up things and find references for things and different versions of a plot or slides. So. And the other website is conjuringcredits.com, and it focuses on very specific questions, like who was the inventor of this plot, and then there's a short article on this. So,
And so one of the, again, things I think is phenomenal is just like with this podcast, it's a labor of love.
It is. I mean, it's free. You just go there and can check it out. And, yeah.
And it's something that you just do on your own, or do you have other people who are contributing?
Especially on the credit side, Stephen Minch is doing a lot of the writing, which is why it's very readable, fortunately.
Yeah, he's a great
author. And Max Maven is contributing a lot of research, so there are good people involved there. And I have a few people helping with the archive as well, mostly Lorenz Scheer from Switzerland, who already contributed a couple of 100 books. So, yeah. There are some people.
How many hours a day would you say that you spend working with updating?
Oh, I don't know. Sometimes it's could be 5 hours on one day and nothing on another day. So there's not really like an ongoing schedule I have.
Yeah, but there's so much stuff to put on there.
Yeah, it's thousands of hours by now, of course.
Yeah. So if you just do a little bit at a time, you know, then eventually it all adds up. How many books would you say that you got covered there?
There are almost 1,500 books in the database.
Wow. Yeah. And they're all English books?
No, I mean, most of them are, but there are maybe, I don't know, 100 German books and a few in other languages.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, when you got your creative fellowship, how did they notify you and how surprised were you?
Well, I got an email like a couple of months ago, and that was, of course, very nice. So I was very honored that they considered me and gave me the award. That was good.
And you flew over just for this? Or I mean,
yeah, I was going to fly in for Fechters anyway, and I'm working at the castle next week, so I just was able to combine it.
Mm-hmm. And you work in the close-up room, I guess?
Yes.
Yeah. And are you working early or late?
Early.
Yeah.
So I can have beer afterwards.
That's my philosophy. I used to work late, and I thought, you know, I'm here until 2 o'clock, and I'm still working, and I'd rather relax and have a couple of drinks, have a martini or something.
I even have a beer during the show, but...
Well, you know that when I was there the last time performing, that I was doing an act as the runner-up to the most interesting man in the world, you know, the Dos Equis beer man, you know, because with the beard I've got right now and everything, you know, and so I produced a bottle of beer, you know, and that. Do you use beer in your show, actually?
I use it, but I only drink it. I don't know, I don't really produce it or anything.
Yeah, don't abuse it. Okay, you use it for what's intended. It's intended for drinking.
Yeah.
Now, how many years have you been coming to 4F?
It's my fourth time. Yeah.
Fourth time, okay.
Yeah, the first one, I don't know, was 2011 or something. And
Seems like that's when I remember that, I was going to say, I didn't think it had been all that long. And what is it about this convention that you like more than others?
Well,
what makes it special?
It's, I think, like any convention, I just like meeting the people there. So there are a lot of people here, and some of them I only meet here, so that's always fun.
Yeah.
And, of course, you see a lot of close-up magic on stage, but also in the rooms. And a lot of sessioning going on, which, I don't know, at other conventions I feel it's a bit... There's less sessioning than there used to be for some reason.
Right.
But here it's...
That's true. That's true. It seems to be more partying, more socializing, and less sessioning.
Maybe,
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting.
At least it feels that way.
Now, how tall are you, by the way? I'm going to say 6'5".
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's 196 in meters, but in feet it's...
Big.
Between 6'5 and 6'6, I think, something like
this.
Taller
than me. I look up to you in more ways than one, as we all do. Well, Dennis, thank you very much. Good having you on the podcast over here.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks
and keep listening.
Me.
I'm glad you do listen.
I will.
It's over the Magic Word Podcast. That was Dennis Baer. This is Scotty out.
All right. Well, Scott Wells from MagicWorkPodcast.com, and we have just finished the afternoon show, which was, what is it? I'm here with Glenn Brown, by the way. Hey, Glenn.
Hi. How are you doing, Scott?
Great. Fantastic. And it was a very good show, Saturday. What is this? I don't know, Gary Morton, was it? What was it titled?
Friends Old and New.
Friends Old and New. And you have been working as a registration guy for a long time with this. You've seen a lot. You kind of do the numbers, and you're the one who puts together the PDF and everything.
I put together the e-book every year.
Yeah. And for those who don't know, the e-book is really what?
It's just an electronic version of the program with a lot of background detail.
That's a good way of putting it. It is a good program. It's something we really haven't had up until you started doing it. Was that just your idea?
My idea. It was about 8 years ago.
Yeah. Because you've written some other books. I mean, didn't you write the Palm Pilot book?
I wrote a couple of books on the Palm Pilot.
Way back when.
And a couple of books on the Mac, but that was pre-2000.
Yeah, I remember. That does go back. Have you written anything recently?
No.
No, okay.
I do this every year, and yeah. I'm retired.
I was going to say, you're probably retired by now.
Yeah, to answer your next question, yes, I'm retired. I love it.
And but with this, what you're trying to do then now is try to tighten up the show. So I'll talk about what you're doing here.
We would like to tighten up the shows. We have noticed in the past that some performers will go way over time, and some will go under. And it's just a matter of trying to, if we're going to have long shows in the afternoon, let's not have one four-hour show with a 10-minute break, which is what we're going to have today. Let's have a little bit shorter show.
So, and how do you go about doing that?
Well, less people on the show is an easy fix, but it's difficult when you have a lot of first-timers. And the other way to do is to try and tighten up the time, to try and make people perform within a time limit. So basically everyone's limited to 5 to 7 minutes. Those with a competition act that they're doing can have 10 minutes.
And the way of making sure that they're on time, you use?
We use just an iPad with a stopwatch on it.
The performers can see that.
Then the performers can see it. And a lighting device that Mike Miller had made for us that shows them a red, green, or yellow light depending on how long they've been.
Right. So they get the yellow light when they've kind of gone over, and you give them about a minute, and then they go to red.
Give them a minute over, and then they get the yellow light, and yeah. Another minute, and they get the red light.
So, and then if it goes too long, then they just shut down the lights and...
At this point, to be honest, it's pretty toothless. We don't do anything.
You threaten it, though.
But it has been threatened. Yeah.
That's because what Obi was saying is, I guess, in year past, that someone had gone like 23 minutes, which was ridiculously long.
They was wrong. It was 28 minutes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
At 23 minutes, that performer pulled out a deck of cards and went, I'll do another trick.
Wow. And that's when they should have gotten out the hook, I guess.
We needed the hook. We needed the hook, for sure. And I'd prefer the hook, but this is a makeshift solution to see if we can improve things over the next year or two.
Right, right. Well, it seems like this is a good idea. At least everyone's going to be more conscientious in knowing that they're going to keep within that
time. At least people know they have time. Will was only a couple of minutes over. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with that. It's just...
He was the last act.
If it goes too long, it's cutting into other people's time. And most of what people are here for is social.
Right.
They're not here
right.
for the shows. They're here to see their friends.
And you mentioned also this being there's not enough time for all the first-timers necessarily. How many first-timers are there here this year?
I think it's about 33 first-timers.
Wow. And so that could be several shows of first-timers.
Well, that in itself is quite a number of shows. And then there's people who want to perform the second time for their master's or the third time for their PhD. Mm-hmm. And
there's only a limited amount of time.
Yeah, there's only a limited amount of time. And there's only so many card tricks that people can stand to look at.
No, well, that's true, too. Do all the 33 first-timers get
they
a chance?
They all perform.
Okay, at one time or another.
They have to perform. First year, you must perform.
And that's one of the things, too, that Obi had said before, is that you are going to, for those who are interested in attending this, I'll talk with him about this again later, but basically that you have to be recommended by two people, and then you also have to follow up by actually requesting yourself.
Yes.
Sending a person.
I think the easiest way is just to win FISM.
Yeah, that'd be easy. Yeah, why not?
That's the easy route.
Then you get an automatic invite.
Then you get an invite, yes.
So you don't necessarily have to win. I should say, if you win another kind of an award, specifically, let's say that you win for IBM or SAM or some other major convention, that's not necessarily a guarantee that you're going to get an invite.
I don't think anything is a guarantee. It's really based on not only the quality of the performer, but the type of person that they are and whether they're going to fit with this group.
Right. So, and how long have you been working doing the and you're actually on the committee.
Yeah, I'm on the board.
Yeah.
That means I work for free.
They double your price. I give you twice nothing. And how many years have you been working on the committee?
8 years, 9 years.
Yeah, and some of the other guys are on the committee. Dan Garrett,
Mayor Yetted, Mike Joseph, Joan, myself, and Obi. Mm-hmm.
That's it?
That's the board.
Okay. And then there are other kinds of people I know who are working, like in the stage crew. We got a lot of other
folks. There are a ton of people working back.
Yeah.
There's people working behind the stage to do all of the stage setup,
right.
Cleanup. Jimmy C. and his crew to do all of the lighting, the AV. Rod Chow runs the 4F shop. So there's an awful lot of people.
There's somebody's got to be running the dealer's room, too, I guess.
Yeah. Craig Dixon runs the dealer room, and there's about 15 dealers in there. I haven't had a chance to look.
Either. Yeah.
But there's an awful lot of work that goes on in the background.
Yeah.
So this is more of a family type. It's not for families, but in itself, it's a family type. We are a family.
Yeah, so. There are 200 people in this family.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that about how many people are attending this year?
253 this year.
Wow, it seems a little bit larger than usual.
Last year it was 238. So we've been trying to keep the numbers down a bit, but it's really difficult.
Well, there are only X number of chairs, I'm sure, in this room. How many actually?
250.
There are 250 seats in here.
Yeah.
Okay, because I know a lot of people sit back behind.
We have a lot of people that would prefer to sit behind the screens or...
Right, for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, exactly.
I know some guys don't necessarily even attend anything except maybe the evening shows, and so they'll be out in the lobby sessioning or whatever.
Yeah. Exactly. A lot of people are here to session. They don't attend any shows.
Yeah.
So...
But they're still... registered for the
community. They're still registered.
Yeah. Plus I know there's some people who aren't registered who just kind of hang out in the lobby. They might show up. Yeah,
you can't stop that.
No, of course not, but they can't get past the door because you have to have a
pass.
Well, good, Glenn, thank you very much.
Nice.
Appreciate it. It's always good, Glenn.
I'll see you tonight.
That's right, for the 4S.
Okay,
that was Glenn Brown. This is Scotty out. All right, well, Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. We're getting ready for the 8 o'clock lecture by Pitt Hartling, who is the guest of honor. But I've got with me one of the past presidents, national presidents of the Society of American Musicians, Mr. Brad Jacobs. Hey there, Brad.
Hey, Scott.
We were just talking about the podcast, and that you said that you enjoyed that. But you've been coming to this, I know, for a number of years.
Yes,
and also,
I have.
How many years would you say that you've been? You know,
Over a dozen.
20, for quite a while. And so why is it that you come to this convention? What is it about this that makes it special and different, let's say, from the SAM or whatever?
Well, it's great to see everybody perform. I mean, these are friends that you don't see maybe once a year.
Yeah.
So everybody performs, and it's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. Do you learn a lot?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I've been around a lot, but I still learn a lot.
Yeah, at our age, there's a lot of things we already know, and so you're still learning.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But you're
And you might get a wrinkle on something that you do that you feel is better.
Yeah.
And
that's which why I'm here tonight. I want to hear what Pitt has to say. You know, he's going to be very interesting. But it's not just that for me. I just like, talking with some friends who are, that you only see once a year, that only come to this, and they seem to be of such a high quality, performers.
Yes. Yeah. I see friends that I don't see every year. So.
Right. Right.
Come here and they're here.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are coming from overseas.
Right.
And I don't get there as often as I used to.
Well, particularly like in Asia, you don't get to see a lot of things, let's say from South Korea or wherever, except if you're going to FISM, I guess, this year. So, are you going to FISM, by the way?
I am.
You're one of the judges, though, aren't you?
Not this time.
Not this time. Okay. You have been in the past, though.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. And were you at Blackpool?
I was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who are the judges for the SAM this year?
Who?
You remember?
No.
No? No, no? Okay. Anyhow.
Pass.
Yeah. So with the SAM, this year is going to be in Orlando.
It is.
End of July, is that right? 27th or something like that?
It is.
Last weekend of July.
Middle of July.
Middle of July. Okay.
It is 4 days after Blackpool. Busan.
Oh, Busan?
FISM and Busan.
Okay.
4 days later, the SAM convention starts in Orlando.
And then next year is going to be in Las Vegas?
Las Vegas in January.
In January? Oh, really?
In January.
Wait a minute. This is news to me.
It's going to be in January 2020. The SAM is not going to have a summer convention. It's going to have a winter convention in Las Vegas.
Now, that's an interesting idea, so you don't compete with Magic Live.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which will be the following month, usually in August.
And a lot. You'd be surprised how many people have said, oh, thank heavens you're going to Las Vegas in January and not in July.
Yeah, that's right. You're not going where it's the hottest time of the month in the hottest place. Yeah. Wow, that's a great idea. Now, is Mike Miller in charge of booking talent
again
and all that?
Yes, he is.
Hank Morehouse used to do that now that Mike's been the guy.
Mike's taken over from...
Done a great job.
Yes, he has.
Yep. Anything that the SAM is doing that's kind of exciting or something that you can talk about?
VEEB 1.1.
Talk about that on Sunday nights.
At Sunday nights every month, only through membership of the SAM.
Online lectures.
Online lectures, and we have a reciprocal arrangement with the Magic Circle in London, and they put ours on their website. We put theirs on our website.
Well, sounds like it always blowing the whistle.
Yeah.
You know, he was an old hockey coach, so that's why he's got the whistle over there. So, all right, it's time to go. That was Brad Jacobs for the Magic Word Podcast. Scotty out. All right, well, we just finished the end of the activities for day number two here on this Thursday. This is Thursday.
Yeah. That's right.
These days run together, and it goes so quickly once it's over. I'm here with the chief forker himself, Mr. Obi O'Brien, for Obi's 4F Convention. Hi there, Obi.
How are you, Scotty?
I'm fantastic. So glad again to be here again for this year, and it's another great one. Look, every show has been solid. The lecture, Pitt Hartling was a great choice for a guest of honor.
Oh, I know it. I've thought about it for a long time.
Have you really?
Oh, yeah.
Now, do you think about these guys for a long time in advance as to who, and how do you make your choices on this? Are some people you've just seen and you think, you know, I think they need to be recognized?
No, I think people that, like Jimmy C.
Yeah.
Or other guys like that, somebody that's done something for 4F and interested in magic and so on. Everybody like Steve Beam and...
Max Maven, Steve Bragazzi, all the guys,
correct. Pat They've Brothers. All done stuff for 4F over the years. Yeah. Even when you go back with Sid Lorraine and you go back with Jay Marshall.
Don Allen. Yeah,
and
I remember that.
Tom Mullica.
I remember that was a great roast way back then. Yeah. That was so funny. That was when he first came out.
That's
seems
right.
Like. That's when I remember he said, you know, if you don't know I'm gay, and now you do.
Yep.
That was a funny one. We've got a great venue here and a good relationship you've got with the hotel, so we're probably going to stay here for a long number of years, I assume.
I hope so.
Yep. it's been good. And it's a little bit different this year. They set up the curtains over here. Now, I remember years ago, you know, that Billy Malone and some guys had done some jokes and things that were pretty funny because they were on the up on the windows over there, and they did like an Elmsley count or something. They closed the curtains, but this time you got the curtains up over there, and so it's a little bit different kind of a setup.
You want to know why?
Yes, here.
This is a real good story.
Okay.
Rochester High School had a prom for the senior year.
Okay.
And they rented the hotel and had the prom in here, and of course the kids rented rooms.
Yeah.
And the rooms were up there where you could look down into here.
Right.
So what do you think the kids did? They start mooning everybody down here, and the teachers.
The teachers, I could imagine.
Yeah, it's going crazy, and mothers and fathers that are chaperones, holy mackerel. So Chan says, we'll fix that. It won't happen again. We'll put up a curtain right to the ceiling.
So that's something that whenever that people rent this out, they now do that as part of the...
Correct. That'll never come down.
Oh, that'll always be there.
Yes.
So the people who are staying in those rooms won't be able to have the view they used to.
That's correct.
Forever. That's interesting.
Forever.
Huh. So those guys who were mooning had changed this venue forever.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, this is now a water park over there, because I remember years ago when Gary Morton had done that thing when he had a card in the bottom of the pool over there, and he was in a scuba outfit, and he went over and found the card or whatever.
Exactly.
But now they got a wall, so that's all part of the water park over
there. That's right.
Yeah, so things have changed.
Yes, they have. I mean, it's better for the good. I mean, the hotel and the water park is very popular on the weekends, and it's very popular during breaks for high school and college.
Yeah. Well, especially up here where it's going to be cold and you got snow, and this is an indoor park, and so they can have this open year round.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this is the 48th year, is that correct?
Correct.
Anything you got planned for the 50th?
We were talking about that this morning, but we haven't that. But for next year, for 2019, we're going to have a French gala. Everybody that comes from France will be on the gala.
Because the gala last night was the Taiwanese gala, correct? Is that what you're talking about? Kind of a
correct.
Okay. Yeah.
Friday night is a Korean gala.
Okay.
So next year there'll be a South American gala rather than an Argentinian gala. It'll just be anybody in South America. Like, there's a guy from here who's Twister Magic, and he's from Peru, and there's another guy from another country, like Venezuela, I think, in South America, and the rest of them will come from where Henry Evans is from, which is Argentina.
Argentina, right.
Right. So that's what I'm hoping for next year, that the Wednesday night we'll start with the South American gala, and then the Friday night I'm hoping...
Well,
I've already got 11 people committed for the French Gala, and some all old 4Fers like Tabari and Jean-Jack Sanvert, and I have a couple of new guys, Olmec, which I don't know if you know him.
No.
Olmec won a FISM prize, and David Stone was recruiting the people from France, but I told him, you know what I mean, we've had some great French magicians here. I think the way it's set up, that Boris Wilde will open up and Olmec will close, and Babel is already committed and a few other guys. So it's going to be a real good French gala.
And Mike Powers will be the guest of honor next year.
Yes.
Right. And so beyond that, for 50, that's...
Mark Mason's the guest of honor for the 50th.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Now, is that going to be your last year and you're handing it over? I mean, you've been doing this for a long number of years, my friend. And
48.
48 years.
I started it in 1971.
With Eddie, yeah.
Yeah.
Back when we had the fish fries back...
Every Friday night is right back then.
Yeah, I love that fish. Yep. I still think about that.
Yeah.
That was some good times.
Well, when we first started, it was only $10 to come to the convention because Eddie supplied free beer and a fish fry and Saturday night food also.
Because people would come into the restaurant to see the magician, so he got a lot of extra money. And he felt like, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And then it went up from 10 to 15 to 25. And, you know, beer at Eddie's in 1971 was only 15 cents for a draft.
So. Okay. Well, and as I recall, too, I think you had said before where they first actually advertised for this convention, they had like a one-inch ad in Genie and saying, let's have a get-together or something?
Yeah, I think I did. I can't remember if I did that, but we started, you know, when Eddie and I sat down, it was in Niagara Falls, there was a convention in the fall. I just can't think of the name of it right now. But it used to be...
It wasn't where they had the O-Ban event or a thing.
No, it wasn't that. It wasn't that. I can't remember. They held it in Syracuse three or four times. They held it in Rochester. They held it in Buffalo. They held it in a couple of other places. But anyway, that was when Eddie was working at Niagara Falls for that convention. And it was a Friday night. And Eddie says... you know, we should have a close-up convention just for close-up guys. They have these stage guys, you know what I mean? Close-up guys don't get anything. I said, that's a good idea. He said, where are we going to hold it? He said, hold it at my hotel. Now, Eddie's hotel wasn't really a hotel. It was a bar and a restaurant downstairs and a hotel at the turn of the century when the horse and buggy was around. That's what they had.
It's kind of a way house, I guess you'd call it back then.
Yes.
And two or three rooms upstairs?
Yep. Well, there was about six rooms upstairs.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. And then we had 35 show up the first year, and then I think we had about 67 the second year, and then we had 99 the third year.
Wow.
And then I can't remember who it was, but it was an IBM president, and I think it was either from Toronto. I'm drawing a blank on that one right now. Anyway, he said, you know, this finger freaking frolic thing is going to be out of hand. Everybody will want to be coming. And so I said, uh-oh, that's a hell of a good name. Vector's Finger Flicking Frolic. Wow.
So that's how that came. That wasn't called that the first couple of years.
No, that's right. That's right. And then I said, okay, because the room upstairs, we held it in. Eddie had turned some of the rooms upstairs into a big room so they could have the banquets. And I said, we're limited to 100 people.
Mm-hmm. And because of the size of the room. Yeah.
Exactly right. And what happened is I saved 10 places for guys like Max Maven.
John Carney.
Yes,
Paul,
Jay Marshall.
Paul was still the young kid coming.
Gertner was only 18 when he hitchhiked in the rain to get here. So, it was like a drowned rat. And you know what Eddie said after he saw him perform?
What's that?
We've got to break that little guy's fingers.
He could tell right away he had something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's how it started all.
Yeah. And then that continued to grow. And I remember you sitting upstairs. Back then, you know, we had a lot of snow. It seems like, I don't know, climate change or whatever you want to call it. We just don't have the colder weather now that we used to have. It seems like this time of the year when it was the snow and everything. But it was so hot upstairs, we'd always open up the window to let the cold air kind of cool us down.
Yeah, we only had two windows.
Yeah,
two were blocked.
Yeah. I remember one year also when Harry Lorraine and Frank Garcia were there, and they apparently had a little tiff, I guess, and like one wouldn't, they both wouldn't be in the same room. One would be upstairs and one would be downstairs.
I don't remember that, but you're right on Harry Lorraine now.
I remember him giving a lecture, and I was recording his, I've got that audio recording, and I put my cassette recorder on the close-up table as he was giving that lecture. And then whenever it clicked, and he said, and he just stopped, and he looked at me, and he said, I'll give you a minute, and I turned it over, put it back in, he said, okay, I can go now, and he kept going. And I think I put two or three tapes in, and he kept going for like 4 hours. He went to like 2 a.m. or something.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because I tried to stop him, David Drake, who was on my board, said...
David Drake, there's a great guy from Canada. He was a wonderful man.
Yeah. David said... That's like saying to a chain smoker, you can only have one or two cigarettes.
And they're going to stop you.
Yeah, because Harry Lorraine, you can't stop him with one or two or three card tricks. He just goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
But the best part of that is, when you go on and on and on, everything is really, really good.
It was, because people were staying there for the whole time, too.
Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right.
That was he was great. And I remember Don Allen, when he was the guest of honor that one year. You've had some really good guests of honor, I think, special guests.
Yeah. The best.
Who's one of your favorites?
Juan Temeriz.
That was a good year. I remember Juan so well.
Juan,
I helped him. He called me up to assist him at the table there.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Well, I think ahead, right? So I think ahead 3 or 4 years who's going to be the guest of honor.
Yeah.
And 3 years I was in FISM. And Juan Temeriz, I knew very well. And I said to Juan, Juan, I got to ask a favor. He said, what's that? And I said to him, I would like you to be the guest of honor 3 years down the road at 4F.
Right.
He said, for you, I will be there because what you do for Magic, running that 4F convention, I will be there. And I said, what's it going to cost me? He said, just my airfare and my room.
Wow, because he was such a great guy, and he thought that much of you and this convention.
So my next question was, if I wasn't the good guy and wasn't coming to 4F, what would it cost me? He said, $10,000.
Thank you, Obi. Everybody should say thank you, Obi, right now. That was an amazing year.
Yeah, thank you, Scotty, for this little interview.
Yep.
I hope everything... You know, Harry Lorraine, I think, is going to come out with a new book because the last one somebody told me here.
What is he, 90-something?
Yeah, you're right. I can't remember what, though, exactly. But they had, a 90th birthday maybe 3 years ago, so it could be but 93 now.
Yeah.
Okay, good, Scott. Okay. Good talking to you.
You've had a very good convention again this year.
Yep.
One last thing, and I always ask you, because some people who may not have listened the past couple of years, and so that I always like to ask this question, that is, how do people get to come to this convention?
Okay. It got so popular that I had to have two sponsors. So you have to have two sponsors, and those two sponsors have to be people that have attended a 4F convention. Okay, because the normal person on the street or the normal guy just beginning magic, okay, they have to have two sponsors that know. Now, after the two sponsors, they're sticking their neck out saying that you're doing good magic. Then what you have to do is you have to send me a video or a YouTube thing, and I send it to me and I give it to my board. I make a copy. If it's on like on an email, I send it to my board. There's six of us on the board. And the board votes on whether this guy's magic is good enough to come. And as an example, there's a one guy, I don't remember his name, but if I do, I wouldn't tell you anyway, that he says that he does gigs out of New York City for $1,000 every time he goes out. And I,
that's going to be good.
And he sends in his video or DVD, and I looked at it and I said, before I even send it to my board, I said, Mom, my board's going to say no. And Marietta knows the guy, and Mayor said, I cannot believe that this guy sent that in of a, you know.
Such a quality.
Yeah, like the three balls, two in a hand, one in a pocket, three in a band, one in a pocket, stuff like that. That's a simple little trick.
Right.
Or you're going to do a sponge ball routine on a, you know what I mean, which everybody does, one in a girl's hand, one, you know, et cetera. That kind of magic is really simple.
But if you've got a presentation that's going to be a killer, let's say like Michael Finney would do something that would be a six-card repeat, but his routine. So sometimes it's a presentation, but in his case, that was not the case, I guess.
That's exactly right, yeah. I mean, there is a guy that does sponge balls. He's a Russian, now living in Germany. And he's wearing a T-shirt, and he produces probably 100 sponge balls.
Wow.
And every judge that was on the thing looking at it said, where is he getting the balls from? I mean, these are FISM judges that saying, where are the balls coming from?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But he's really good. I'd like to get him here sometime, but you know what I mean? He's working for a living. And
But the important thing is you have to have two people to speak for you, and then you have to actually send a request as well. And that's something that a lot of people fail to do.
Well, after the two people, they send me an email or a phone call and say, oh, I'd like to this guy, I vouch for his magic. And then after the two guys send me that, and after I receive a thing from a video or YouTube thing, then I inform the guy, okay, you're set to come.
Right.
All you have to do is pay me your registration.
Right.
And you're on the thing. The first timers have to perform in front of their peers.
Everyone. Every first timer.
Every first timer.
Yep.
Correct.
So be prepared to perform, not just show up and hang out, and you have to perform.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Well, that's great information to know, and I'm going to let you go then also, but I think the way this has evolved over the years where that it used to be more American, but again, you have like this year 18 countries that are represented, but also that the lecturers you choose from overseas and not from America because we have such vast talent from abroad.
I try not to hire anybody from the United States that lectures in the United States all the time, like a guy living in the United States and he goes all around across the country.
Doesn't matter who you are. Matter,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, my guys might see them because they go to their clubs and that stuff. But so I bring in lecturers from Europe or Japan or Taiwan, and, you know.
Right.
Or Korea, et cetera, you know what I mean? So France.
It's really grown to such an international thing and it has a cachet about it.
This year, I try to keep it around 250 people. Mm-hmm. And I think this year I got over 100 people from outside of the United States.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Did a good job. Well, Obi, I'm going to let you go. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time. Thank you for putting this convention. You and Joan and all of your staff just do an outstanding job. And I've talked to so many people, and they have given all these great testimonials about why that this seems so much like a family and the reason that they come back.
Well, it is family, and I try to keep it as a family.
Yeah. Like Rocco had said, you know, you're my brother, brother.
That's right. Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got some great people that advertise for 4F, and one is Sean Farquhar, who's known FISM champion, world champion.
Yep.
Howard Hamburger.
Yep.
Sean Farquhar goes on Ellen, right, with his 4F pin on.
We always wear, work in the castle. You know, there's so many of us wear our pins. Yeah.
Exactly
proud
right.
Proud of this.
Yes, you're right. And I mean, a lot of TV shows, you know, a lot of other guys were on Ellen, the same thing with the 4F pin on. And they go to the Magic Castle and have their 4F pin on.
Yep.
So,
Hobie, thanks again for all that you've done over these last many years.
Okay,
and
Scotty.
Years to come. For the Magic Word Podcast. That was Hobie O'Brien, the chief forker from the Forks Hotel.
Head forker.
Head forker. There we go. This is Scotty out. All right, well, we are here now with last year's guest of honor, Mr. Rocco
Scott.
Solano. Hey,
yes,
Rocco.
Yes, Scott. Thank you for having me and remembering that. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I wasn't here last year, so I apologize. I mean, because you're such a good friend, and I really wanted to be here and help support you. But tell me, so how was it? How'd it go?
I'm telling you, I see these people more than I see my own cousins and the family. I love seeing everyone here.
Yeah.
I love it. One of the highlights of my life at 58 years old is coming here every year.
Yeah.
And look at this. See what I'm saying?
There's Maria and Mike Powers right now.
Yeah.
That's right. So that's right. Just talking about family right here. In fact, so that's okay.
Once a year.
Because Mike Powers is going to be the guest of honor next year. And so you're excited about next year, I guess.
I'm excited and worried about getting something accomplished before then.
Because I was just talking to Rocco about last year. And so that I'm glad you're going to be in next year.
Yeah. I'm working on a book, so now I've got a motivation to get it done, you know.
You've accomplished so much so far as it is.
Thanks, Rocco.
Yeah, man. Look, here we are.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah, it's an honor to be standing next to you two guys.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
All right. You guys have accomplished so much. That's really great. Thank you.
All right.
This is our life, man. So, seeing people like that every year gives me a thrill.
Yeah.
And now what I don't like is that I come here and I expect to see certain guys that were older.
And they're not here.
They're not here no more.
Like Ed Echol.
And what happens? Yeah, so many from Ron and Roger Clouse and everyone.
Pat Page.
List is an end.
Yeah.
So so this is going to become one of my yearly things that I do until I get old, just to come here and see guys
until you
like
get old.
You.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, you're not old yet. I mean, you're still only like 32, right?
Well, I had dyed my hair, but I'm your age.
I used to.
And I'm looking forward to showing them what I've been doing. I'm going to do some new stuff on Saturday.
Are you?
And I love the reaction I get from the people.
Yeah.
And look around. Look, see what we see? Yeah. Guys doing card tricks over there.
Sessioning
these
everywhere.
New conventions nowadays, they don't have this anymore.
No.
Guys doing coins, guys talking business, guys doing
Rubik's
this.
Cubes over there with, Shane Brady, all these guys.
This is really the greatest experience convention that I have fun with.
Yeah. Right. How many years you been coming to this?
I don't know, 15, 16?
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. You too, right?
This is my 31st year. So I've been coming longer than you. Did you ever go? Were you at the Forks? Did you come when it was the Forks?
That was the first. The last time I was at the Forks was my first year.
Okay, when they closed.
1987.
Seven. That's right.
That's when it was. My first year there. So you were there?
I was there. Oh, yeah.
So they call us Forkers.
That's right.
We're Forkers.
Yeah, you're one of the original Forkers.
Yeah, in memory of Eddie Fechter.
Yeah. So, did you ever know Eddie? Well, I guess you didn't know Eddie.
No.
He had died before I started coming, too.
Yeah.
So I never met him.
So all these young kids now, they have to realize who they stand on great shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just do tricks. This is about a lifestyle of magic and the love of the art.
Yeah.
This is why we're here.
That's true.
Anyone can fill a stage with feather flowers, but how do you fill a stage with a single rose? You have to expose yourself to all viewpoints of magic.
Even though this is a close-up convention, you're still playing before 250 people.
You still got to be a showman.
Yeah, showman.
You still
got to
be a showman. You know, just because someone gives you medicine, that doesn't make them a doctor.
There was a guy this afternoon in the show who did, which I remember, he's from New York. You might know who he was, David somebody. It was his first year, second year here. Anyhow, he did a multiple location effect, which it wasn't so much the trick itself, but his presentation was awesome.
Exactly.
It's all about the presentation.
Exactly.
It's like he was memorable.
I know his name. What's his name? David what? Corsera.
No, it wasn't David Corsera. No. Because there's David Corsera right there, in fact. But it was a different David. This is, I want to say, is his first year here. Anyhow, the point is that I know you've been here for a lot of years, and that this is something that is a family, and you're exactly right.
Yeah, man.
Because I remember one year that you gave everybody a bottle of wine.
I did, man.
Because from the heart. It's I love you guys.
This is my family reunion.
Yeah, yeah.
If I get into a fight with people, I would call these guys to come help me out. This is like my football team. I hang out with these guys every year. I know every face. Look, even this guy. What's your name? There you go, man. Look, this is a great face. Hey, where are you from?
Yeah, the United States.
And when did we meet?
Here.
2 years ago? Last year?
Yeah, well, I don't know. We met here.
But see, I met him one time, but I know I recognize the face.
Now you recognize my face.
Now we're like
If I took my shirt off, you'd recognize me more.
He has longer hair. He has more of a beard.
Yeah, yeah.
This is your second year then?
Yeah.
What is your name?
My name is Sam.
Sam.
Steven, yeah. Sleeven. Yeah.
Sleeven, okay. Yeah. I wasn't here last year.
Yeah, right.
This is the third time I've missed in 35 years.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, this is Scott Wells, man. He does a...
Yeah, yeah.
He's one of the 35 times coming out. Look, another one here. Yeah. Another one. Look.
How are you, man? Good
man,
to see
you. Man, these are all... You got braces?
I got braces.
How old are you? 12?
I'm working into the act and everything.
Got 12, yes.
He got braces. He's got to be 35 years old. Tell him what your name is. He's got a 4F.
Brian Roberts. I got it in here.
Yeah.
How you doing, Scott?
Good, Brian. Good, very good. Yeah. Good to have you over here then.
Thank you very much.
You've been coming for a number of years because I've seen you here.
I've been coming over for over 10 years now, actually.
Okay.
Yeah,
10 years,
yeah,
man.
It's been great.
We're going to do this one roll.
There's no... Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I plan to.
Yeah.
I plan to.
Yeah, no, I'm going to be here for the long run, for sure.
And why is this special to you?
You know what? It's special to me because I have the Canadian connection, of course. I'm from Toronto. I was born and raised in Canada. You know, the history of magic in Canada from Di Vernon to Doug Henning, you
and
name
Eddie
it.
Fechter.
And Eddie Fechter, of course, yeah. And the fact that I was invited by a couple of Canadians that I really respect. And I'm here to represent the Canadian contingent.
That's it, man. There's another
so, yeah.
one.
That's
it's
been a big part of it, actually, for me.
New Jersey. New Jersey.
So I'm a fan of the history of magic, and when I found out there was such a Canadian bent on that, then I had to be part of one of the greatest conventions in magic.
Yeah,
so,
that's great.
Now, here's what I'm talking about.
So, Rocco's just going all over the board over here.
This is one of the old timers
right
here.
I know.
That I
know.
See every year, and I look forward to them. He's got some pictures for me.
Right, Ray's always got a bunch of pictures.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, I want to sit down and have dinner with you. See, now.
So, but real quickly, I want to also ask you that now, since that the Macau has closed.
Yeah.
Is that right? And that closed just because they did something else with the hotel? Is that right?
Yeah.
I've got one in the room.
Oh, look at that. He's got a picture of me and Gene Anderson. Yeah. Can you give me a copy of that?
Oh, yeah, I got it right.
Yo. Oh. We needed to see you.
What did I do?
We're going to have some whiskey later.
Oh, yes.
Friday, that's right.
Right?
Let's see. Hey, Glenn, I'm recording right now. So
tonight.
Tonight, we're going to have the scotch.
Scotch. 11 o'clock in that room.
Scotch party, right?
That's the
this
4S.
Is my friend Perry Maynard from Las Vegas.
Hey, Perry.
Pleasure. Pleasure.
Pleasure to meet you then also.
Nice
have
to meet
you. Have you been coming for a while?
No, this is my first year.
And what do you think so far as a first-timer?
Oh, fantastic. Come on.
Yeah.
You can't get better than this. You have this wealth of magic, knowledge, and experience, entertainment under one roof. They're blowing the top of this place off before the weekend's over. This is amazing. I mean,
so you plan
to come.
This is
where the real magic happens.
Yeah, so you plan to come from now on.
Oh, year after year. Yeah. Come on. Put me down forever. Put me down for a lifelong.
And so it's your first year, and you're from where again?
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, okay.
Las Vegas,
okay.
Yes.
And there are a lot of magicians out in Las Vegas.
Been traveling with this guy for the last 10, 15 years.
So you were with him in Macau?
Yeah. Oh, not Macau. I was in Macau. Because I own a chain of magic stores in Las Vegas. So I couldn't get out and spend as much as time he was
what,
in.
What's the magic shop?
Las Vegas Magic Shops.
Okay.
We've been in
where are
Vegas
they? In the, some of the casinos?
6 years, absolutely, on the Las Vegas Strip. We were in the Riviera for 25 years. Now we're in the Stratosphere. We've been there about 20 years. Grand Bazaar in front of Bally's Hotel and Casino.
Yeah.
And funny enough, just for you, I'm going to release where our new store is going to be. In 2 weeks, we're going to open our new store in Las Vegas. It's going to be in Container Park, downtown.
In Fremont?
In Fremont, beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada.
In which hotel down there?
It's called Container Park. It's a shopping destination.
Okay. Uh-huh.
It's going to be 1,200 feet of amazing magic jokes and novelties that's just going to blow your mind off. And it doesn't matter if you're a seasoned professional or just a beginner, you come by and see us at Las Vegas Magic Shop.
And be sure and ask for who?
You can ask for Perry, Rocco, any of the professional magicians that are there.
Yeah.
You know what? They say for years, Las Vegas Magic Shops, we make magic easy. And we truly do on a day-to-day basis. We just simply make magic easy.
Yeah.
So come on and see us.
So, Rock.
Yeah, the Macau thing, yeah. What happened, he, Franz closed the place last October.
Yeah.
And now he's opening another one, three times bigger, in another location.
Really? Wait. That was like $20 million.
That had three stages. The next one's going to have seven stages.
Oh, my gosh.
For magic, for all different categories.
Macau?
No,
he can't tell where it's going to be.
No, he doesn't want me to tell. He doesn't want to jinx it.
It's a secret, but people should watch for this.
Yes, Franz Ferrari is brilliant.
How soon? Oh, he is. How soon will this be?
It's probably going to be about 12 months. Yeah, 12 months. They're building it now. It takes a while, you know.
I know. I can imagine.
But that was a beautiful place. We did the show with you.
Thanks to you. We did a video and everything.
Right.
Yeah, you go back.
Live backstage.
Yeah. If the people listen to the podcast, we'll go back and they can listen. Just do a search for Rocco.
Yeah.
Or Franz Ferrari. And you can actually, there was a video we did. And then I actually converted that to an audio so you can listen to it.
Franz loved it. It was brilliant. Hopefully we could do it again in the next one.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to be opening there?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
That's so exciting. Rocco, you're such a great guy. You're such so good to magic. And you're part of the family. I mean, you are.
Takes one to know one. God bless you and your family and all the magic community out there. Please follow me anywhere you can.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Good enough. Rocco Solano for the Magic Word Podcast. Scotty out. All right, well, we're in the dealer's room right now, and we're with a person who was the guest of honor for the recent Salute to Magic, and also one of your favorite dealers, been around forever. I think he was the cruise ship magician for Noah's Ark. Here he is. Here's Mr. Bob Little. Hey, Bob.
Yo, what do you say? Hi, Al.
So tell me about the Salute to Magic. How was that?
Oh, it was fabulous. Very well done. Very, very professional, and it was a great honor. I really loved every minute of it.
How many people attended? Do you have any idea about what the audience
was? Oh, yeah, about 300.
That's a good-sized group.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Now, when I was talking with David, he was telling me about your Davini act, and I had forgotten about that Davini act. Davini? What was it?
Yeah, Davino, yes. That goes way back. It was Roddy McDowell, the actor who got me the...
From Psycho.
Yeah, he got me the outfit in Hollywood,
really?
California.
Okay.
Yeah, and I owe a lot to him, and... it was just something that was just a takeoff of magicians producing doves, and I reversed that, became a dove and produced magicians. And that played all over the world. That got me to Europe more than my tricks, really.
Wow. How many years did you do that?
Oh, God, about 5 or 6 years.
Okay.
Yes, until it died out. That would be funny.
Now, are there any videos available on that?
Pardon me?
Are there any videos so people can see
that? No, not really. No, I never. I don't know why I never had a video on it.
What year would that have been, or years?
Part of it is in here, yes. That was in the 1970s.
Okay.
Late 70s, early 80s.
It seems like that I have seen some black and white promo photos of you, some 8x10s of you as a...
Did you have that? I still have those, yeah. I have those at home, yeah.
Now, were you a dealer back then or not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was a dealer.
So you had your Bob Little productions forever.
Yeah, I did that all over Europe. It played great in Germany, France, and Spain, and Italy.
Yeah. Now, I was telling David that when you and I were years ago at the Winter Carnival, I did a chat with you, and you had said that you were a professional tennis player, and David said, I didn't know about that, and I just want to reconfirm. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I played an awful lot of tennis in California.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I played tennis quite a bit.
Did you play on the circuit, or it was more than just a hobby with you, though, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was more than a hobby. You know, I played on the circuit and met a lot of great players. And
you know Bobby Riggs way back then?
I knew of him and all like that.
But you never played against him?
Never played against Bobby, no. Yeah. No.
What about that, as far as, like, the women were playing back then at that time? You know, there was that movie recently, you know, about...
Yeah, well, he and... I forget her name. She was this tennis star. But it was a great publicity that they got. I mean, she won. She beat them. But it was
did you ever play against women back in the day?
No, never did.
Okay. Because it was really a man's sport back then.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, really, it was.
So why did you change and do magic then?
My tennis days are over.
Well, for many of us. but why did you change and start doing
well,
magic?
Well, no, I graduated from Penn State with a degree in organic chemistry, and I just got tired of being in a laboratory with Union Carbide. I just, it was not me. It was just not me, that's all.
Yeah.
And after I got married, my wife was teaching English and literature at our high school, and I said, give me 1 year to try to make it in the magic industry, the magic business. And I lived off of her income for about a year, and gradually I built from there, and I made it. I mean, I made it as far as making a living at
it. Right. Supporting a family and all that.
Yes. Yeah, I have a boy and a girl. They're in their late 30s today.
How old are your children now?
Oh, in their late 30s, 37.
And grandkids?
38. Pardon me?
You have grandkids?
Yes, yeah. My son has four boys. I kept saying, one more and you got a basketball team.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, my son has four boys, and my daughter, she's not really married, but she's with a guy, and I don't mind that. We love him.
Yep, that's great. Yeah. Well, now, your one-day convention's coming up this fall. What's the date?
Yeah,
Tell me about this.
It's right here. It's June
Super Sunday.
Yeah, around 2 a year, June 10th, and I don't have November set yet, but it's always June and November. It's a one-day convention, and they bring about 200.
In Hatboro, Pennsylvania, outside Philadelphia.
Yep. Yeah, Mike Miller helped me a lot, and Mark D'Souza helped run it. I got a good crew that helps put it together.
Right.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's always a surprise who the guest is going to be. Can you say who the guest is this year?
No, I never let them know. Okay. I say for $40, it's the... It's the most inexpensive one-day convention there is. Yeah. Besides, they get champagne and they get homemade chocolate.
All the chocolates you can eat.
All the chocolates you can eat,
and,
yeah.
And old-time music from World War II,
swing music. And from the Titanic.
Yeah,
I'm big on the Titanic.
So nothing has changed over the years?
No.
Okay. But you got everything. You've got like a dealer and lectures and shows?
Oh, yeah. The show is 8 o'clock and it's over by 9 and then they browse with the dealers by 10, it's really over because it's Sunday night. They've got to go to work the next day, so I don't have it beyond 10 o'clock at night. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to take one of these flyers, and I'm going to put this in fact that a lot of people may not know this, but I've recently added a site on my website for the Magic Word Podcast. If you go to the website, you'll see a thing that says conventions, and so you can find out about that.
Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, and Wilmington, Delaware. That's about 90% of my clientele, those four states.
I love it. We say a one-day magic chocolate and champagne convention.
That's it, yes.
For $40. You can't beat it. That's right.
No, not really. No.
That's great. Well, thank you very much.
It's great you talk about it. Yeah.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was our friend Bob Little. This is for the Magic Word. Scotty out. Hey, so hello, this is Scott Wells of MagicWordPodcast.com, and so we were just at the the Scotch Sippers Secret Society, which is the 4S.
You can tell it's working.
It is working, that's right. 4S, that's right.
Scotch Sippers Society. Take your time with that one.
Here with a couple of guys. One is my old friend, a young friend, Ricky Smith. Hey, Ricky.
Hello.
And also Steve Himmel.
Hello.
And Steve, you might remember that if you go way back, I don't know what year it was, 2015 or so, the Magic Castle.
At least 15.
Goodwin was downstairs. We were chatting in the library. But Ricky had worked with H&R Magic Books for a long number of years. And you said you were in college at the time? I thought you were in junior high. I mean, you always seem like a young kid.
I'd finished college with an engineering degree, and then I moved to Texas to work at H&R Magic Books.
You moved up in the world, yes.
Yeah.
I know
what I'm doing.
Well,
I know how to be successful.
Well, you follow the lead of Dick Hatch, because Dick has a master's in physics, I think, isn't he, or something?
Yeah, it's true. Dick's a genius.
He is, and knows a lot about Erdnase.
Yeah.
And so you kind of followed in his footsteps.
Yeah,
it's true. Because you're a card guy.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite humans. And so I was spoiled to work there and study.
Did you say one of my favorite humans?
Yeah.
Not people. You are killing me, man.
You're welcome.
So now you're working with Bill Kalush, who's another one of your favorite humans, I guess.
Yeah, it's true. Bill's awesome. Like,
how'd that relationship get hooked up there?
I met him awkwardly a few times because I was always intimidated by his awesomeness. And then one time at 31 Faces North, we were hanging out quite a bit, and he's a fascinating character, so I was hanging on every word. And then we were at a fancy dinner the last night, and at the time I had just like quit my job and wasn't doing very much and wasn't finding more work. And I was like, oh no, you know, things are awry. And that night he asked me, like, what do you do for a living other than magic? You know, what do you do outside? And I was embarrassed, so I just said, oh, I'm retired. And he thought that was funny, and he's like,
22, I'm retired.
He's like, well, if you're not doing anything, why don't you come to New York to live? I'll give you a place to stay, and you could study magic. And I was like, oh, great, you know, thank you for the offer. You know, I thought, that's a nice offer. No one's that serious about something like that. And so I was still looking for work and wasn't doing it, having any luck. And I just thought, maybe he was serious. Maybe I could do that. And that's a great opportunity. And so I emailed him. I was like, were you serious about that job thing? And he said, I'm always serious, and which is kind of true.
Kind of true.
And so I went out for a couple weeks to just try it out. And like, I landed in New York. I got to the library. It's the most glorious place on the planet. All these books and awesome things. And
you loved H&R Magic books because you were just surrounded by books.
Yeah.
So this is like the second heaven for you.
It's my dream. I like places with spines. And so I'm there and I'm like, this is great. And he's like, don't unpack your bags. Tomorrow we're flying to Florida. And I was like, holy crap, this job is exciting, you know. And we went to Florida to watch David Blaine get shot in the face by Bill Kalush. And the reason they did it there is because if you fire a gun at someone in most states, that's illegal. But you can fire a gun at someone, you know, without the intention to kill or something in Florida, and it's okay.
And without an intention to kill, it's okay.
Yeah,
so I'm shooting at you just for the heck of it, guys. We're just goofing off and having beers.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. We had to go there for some legal reason, and like, I got to watch my boss shoot David Blaine in the face, like, my second day on the job. I'm like, this is great. And meanwhile, I'm like the kid that came to dinner because I kept working there for, like, 9 years or something like that.
It's been 9 years now? Now, are you, like, doing research and adding things to their database and everything?
I wasn't too much involved with, like, the adding to the database. We have a professional scanner. It's, like, his job. And then the OCR is done. But I help type up letters and things like that to make them searchable because handwriting isn't so easily recognized by the computers yet. And then I did help with some research projects and things like that. But now I'm retired from that also.
Meaning that you're doing what?
I'm just a father now. Okay. My wife, when we had our kid, it was like, how much time do we have, and who makes the most money? And she was the clear winner.
What is her profession? What does she do?
She has a fashion accessories brand called Mari Sol, CN Sun. You know, that's the translation according to some Google or something. Okay. And it's doing pretty great. It's like beach bags and hats. And so she's doing well. And then Yeah.
So are you doing some stuff with Bill still?
I help out from time to time, but I'm
not like you did.
Yeah, not the same.
You got David Blaine?
I've helped him from time to time, but not at the moment either. I think I'm pretty much retired for real.
Now,
something.
Didn't you do a video or something a while back, or maybe a penguin or something?
I did a few downloads with Dan and Dave that are I tried my best on, and they were pretty fun. I don't know. You get my check every month, and I'm like, woohoo!
Of like, what, $6? $7? I've got downloads, and I know what those generate. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Of course, that's me. Yeah, I don't know.
But he's Ricky Smith.
That's exactly. Well, people want to pay for you.
It's true that it's not that much, but it's enough where I'm like, awesome. You know, I have enough pocket money to go out,
a cup of coffee.
And have a beer, which, you know, when you're like a house husband or whatever, like, that's pretty nice.
So what are you working on now? What's new?
It's funny, like, I haven't slept in a long time because of the new baby, but she's been doing enough of her own thing that I've come up with a few new things that I'm pretty excited about. I was coming up with stuff quite a bit. I was working at the bar right before she was born. There's a great bar in New York called As Is, and it's very magic friendly and delicious food and drinks, and it's awesome. A lot of magicians hang out there. And
that's not where the foodie magician hangs out.
Not that I know of.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
I did some show recently, and somebody said, I was just in New York, and I saw the foodie magician.
Yeah.
You know, he came and did, I was doing, matter of fact, I was doing Banachek's Psychokinetic Touches. And I did it on her, and she said, I was just in New York, and the foodie magician just did this very thing for me. Wow. And how do you like New York? I mean, it's kind of completely different from Houston.
Yeah, it's so exciting, and there's so much going on. There's like 5 or 6 great magic shows going on right now.
Have you seen Derek Delgadio's show?
Yeah, I've seen it.
I want to go see Joshua Jay's show, Six
yeah,
Impossible
the Six
Things.
Impossible.
Oh, my God. I told my wife, I go, I'm going to New York without you for this because I'm not paying
for it. That's like in an escape room or something, I think.
All I know is it's super interactive, and Josh is one of my biggest inspirations.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so clever, and it looks awesome.
Have you been there yet, seen it?
No, I'm not sure that it's opened yet. And it might be outside of my budget unless lots of people buy some downloads.
It's like $150 or something,
yeah.
I think.
Buy those downloads, people. Ricky Smith.
Yeah, buy Ricky.
The shop used to be a
block away from. I don't know.
So, keeping busy as a father.
Yeah. And I like it. We moved out of the city, and we have a house. So I have like a little library with a practice table now, which is like my dream. Now I just have to figure out how to stay there and keep everyone else out.
That's cool. Anyhow, thank you very much, Ricky. It's always good catching up with you. And Steve Himmel also. Good talking with both of you guys. It's over the Magic Word Podcast. And from the 4S room, the Scotch Sipper Secret Society. This is Scotty out.